Thanks for the kind introduction. I first wanted to share my color of glasses. I come from computer science side, but I have worked with the geographic data for a long time with mentorship of Professor Goodchild and so on. And over the years, my research has focused on spatial databases in the early 90s, and then more recently on spatial data mining. And there have been fair amount of community activities that I have been involved in. So today, you know, my talk was on this transdisciplinary foundation, which is kind of cut off, but I'm going to make it a little bit more societal, kind of given the audience. So we have a recent project from NSF working with the smart and connected communities. So we are working with Minneapolis, St. Paul, Tallahassee, and Hennepin County. And in this, we are essentially looking at many of the social aspects, the social, urban design, natural system, and so on, and trying to connect it to the typical outcomes at well-being, health, sustainability, and equity. And there are many innovations in this space that we are working with. The one I will talk largely about is spatial data science, but we are collecting very fine scale data. In fact, in the keynote speech, you saw the air quality data, which was very coarse, kilometer by kilometer grid. But we are looking at a much finer scale. We have smaller sensors that many high schools will place and students will measure that. And then we are working with urban planners to help city planners think about, you know, the future infrastructure. And, you know, traditionally they focus on the average case, thinking about the entire city and how things will be best for everybody. But we want to also help them think in terms of equity, so in across neighborhoods and so on. Okay. So this work is in, as I said, with community. So I'll quickly show one slide on that aspect. So we are working with the community, you know, even the problem definition and visioning. So from the community perspective, one of the key needs is to think about future infrastructure as we adjust to climate change, driverless cars, as well as post-carbon future renewable energy. And as they think about this future infrastructure, we want to help them look at the scenarios which advance the societal goals, including equity. Okay. So we meet, you know, quite often with them, and we try to select questions with them. So for example, in recent meetings, some of the questions that came up were things of this kind. Okay. So Minneapolis-St. Paul, as you probably know, is a relatively wealthy community. So if you looked at just averages in any community, they do, you know, pretty well, much better than national average. But one of the challenges there is the difference between different communities. So if you just look at the gap, we don't do very well. But if you just look at each community in isolation relative to national average, we do very fine. So that's why Minneapolis has put equity as one of the key measures as they invest and replan the infrastructure. And some of the questions they are asking, which our social science colleagues are going to work on, is how to measure it, you know, as they invest, how do you track whether it has made a difference and so on. So this project just started about, you know, 6 months ago, and over the time we'll share more results. But today I wanted to, you know, at least talk about the spatial aspects of that. So first, you know, what does spatial data science has to do with cities? And it turns out we have very rich history. Many of us know about this London cholera map. So anyone who hasn't seen this map before, okay, that's good. So this map, as we know, you know, helped change the hypothesis about the cause of cholera. So instead of this bad air theory, John Snow saw that these deaths were concentrated around one water pump. And he came up with a conjecture that maybe the water pump has something to do with it. He went to the city council and they did an experiment to remove the water pump, and that did help. And about 20 years later, people started pointing microscopes at the water, and germ theory came, which changed the course of science. Right? Many other things happened here. But, you know, probably we also know that it also changed our cities. Okay? So in the cities, people started kind of putting in parks, separating the drinking water and sewer system, you know, very clearly and so on. So with this analogy, we can kind of say that, you know, the same data science which helped us before in redesigning our cities, as we go forward, could it help us solve our current problems, such as equity, air quality, and so on. So moving forward, since, you know, John Snow's days, you know, he just looked at the map and intuitively came up with this conjecture. But today we have sophisticated tools. And one tool that's used quite a bit in National Cancer Institute and public health community is called SAT scan. Again, show of hand, how many of us have used it or are familiar with it? Okay, quite a few. That's great. In fact, Martin Kulldorff, I believe, is here in Harvard Public School, who developed this when he was at NCI. So if you look at this tool, you see the role of three different disciplines in there. So first, Kulldorff was from statistics. So he brought in number of tests to reduce chance patterns or spurious pattern, likelihood ratio test, as well as statistical significance test. In addition, so if you ran this software on Jon Snow's map, you are going to get a very nice circle with very high statistical confidence saying that this did not happen by chance. You know, there is a significant concentration of deaths inside this circle relative to outside. So Kulldorff also used simple algorithms to enumerate these circles. So given this data set, if let's say there were n points, he would make n choose two circles, you know, putting each pair one point in the center and one on circumference, and he will go through and test all of them. Okay? So he used scalable algorithms to scale up to new data sets. And today these can be run automatically. You can look at national data sets or larger data sets and scan through them very, very quickly. Now, the last part, which Kulldorff actually didn't think about as much, was the completeness. Is he going to miss any circles? So it turns out that the circles he enumerated was only two-point circles. And if you come from a geometric background, as you know, three points can be used to define a unique circle. And then there are other circles that can be defined with beyond that. So he does miss some circles. So if you have used SAT scan, you might have noticed that if your center of the hotspot were empty, then you might miss that pattern, and so on. So as we go forward, we can make this framework a little bit more robust. And part of our research in this NSF project is to kind of make this framework more robust. So we are going to actually look at even other shapes of hotspots. So for example, if you had linear hotspot, in the last talk, when you saw the Los Angeles earthquake data, many of you probably saw the linear pattern, and those are along the faults. Oh, okay, all right. So we can, you know, so just show you a quick limitation. If you had linear patterns like road fatalities along a highway, SAT scan will only find these little areas, but it's going to miss many others. We are developing new tools which can give you these linear hotspots, which you are not going to find through SAT scan. So this is one area where new data science is going to happen. And initially we were focused on shortest path between endpoints. And in the proposed work, we are going to also look at simple paths. Another limitation is when you work with partitioned data. In fact, our keynote speaker was looking at raster data. And as we know, if you're just looking at point data and partition it, you can miss interactions. In fact, here, suppose I wanted to ask you the correlation between the colors. If you partitioned it this way, as you can guess, you are going to miss the interaction between red and blue. Okay? In fact, Pearson correlation coefficient between red and blue will come out to be negative. Because when you see red, you don't see blue, and vice versa, right? And many of us know in spatial statistics, we can use neighborhood graphs to catch these interactions using functions like Ripley's CrossK. But these are more expensive, so we have come up with more computationally scalable methods like co-location, where we use a slightly different measure, which is an upper bound on Ripley's CrossK, but can scale up computationally a lot more. And going forth in this project, we are also going to look at teleconnections. So overall, you know, it's a very typical data science kind of framework. We are going to collect a lot of data, look at patterns such as hotspots, as well as cross correlations in space, you know, generate hypotheses which are going to be both data driven as well as subject driven. And then, at the end, hopefully there is a social science theory about urban development to reduce inequality. I'm going to conclude by saying, you know, there are many other challenges ahead. In data science, we always assume the past predicts the future. But in many cases, that's not the case. You know, if you know climate is changing, even the web changes. A major, you know, recent case study was Google flu trend. How many of us have heard this story? Few of us, okay. And, you know, they predicted it for a while, and then they were way off. And there is a Science and Nature article showing, you know, how things change. And these are the things we have to be careful about. There are also social feedback loops. So Cathy O'Neill's book, how many of us have read that or seen it? Okay, great. So this crime hotspot analysis that you are mentioning, Cathy actually goes and says how if you station the police near the hotspots, it will reinforce the pattern because your data gets more and more biased towards that area. So next time you come back, those hotspots are strengthened. And that can have major community impact. So you have to think about how to deal with those things. And the other ones, which we also heard about, you know, fairness, accountability, transparency, which are parts of good governance, these are being actually asked of machine learning and algorithms more and more. There are workshops. Now, big question is for the spatial algorithms, what are its equivalent? So for fairness, one thing people have tried to do in the face recognition is to readjust the learning samples. If you just take all of your data, it may be biased. You may have many more white males than the other ones. So people actually take a subset of the data, which is balanced across the categories, race, gender, and so on. And that gives algorithms a chance to create a model which is more fair. Now with the space, you know, should we also be thinking about fairness across space, you know, across the location should model do well and so on. So these are sort of some of the data science issue. And I'm going to close this by just leaving a few references if you're interested in these topics. Thanks.